Rob Halford from Judas Priest is on the line.
Doing fine, Larry. What a fabulous segue.
Joan Jett.
It's nice to be here. Opens now.
Hello, this is Holly.
Holly, it's Ross from Kilo.
Hi, how are you?
Very well. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Thank you for rescheduling.
Well, I appreciate your time. I know you've got to be busy counting down to May 9 through 12 for another Rockville thing, huh?
Yep, that, and we've got Sonic right after that.
So right.
Back-to-back festivals.
No, it's amazing what DWP has grown into, quite the monster. And I want to thank you guys from Kilo and our staff and our listeners, because we've been a part of Sonic Temple when that whole thing first started. And then once Sacramento started, we started shipping people out there every fall. And then we kind of re-switched up to this Rockville because it's Daytona, Florida, man. But you guys have always been so accommodating. And we've hooked up a bunch of winners over the years to some great experiences. And I thank you for the partnership, first and foremost.
Of course. I've worked with you guys for about 5 years now, and it's a great thing we look forward to every year.
Well, let's talk more about you first. How did you get to this and working with the biggest festivals in the world, easily the biggest promoter in the world with Danny Wimmer Presents? Give us the history of you for folks who want to kind of get into this kind of business. Where'd you start?
Yeah, you know, I'm very lucky and fortunate that this kind of fell into my lap. So I didn't go to school for this. I didn't go to school for marketing. I, you know, actually worked in the cannabis industry and decided ultimately that that wasn't a long-term career path.
Yeah. What state did you work in? Because Colorado is obviously...
I'm in California. Yeah.
Okay.
We're based out of California. But yeah, I worked in the cannabis industry, decided that wasn't a long-term career path goal for me. And my best friend's mom was looking for a receptionist one day. She owned an event planning company. And I was like, hey, hire me. She told me, like, no, you're like my other kid. You can't come work for me. And I said, you know, have the rest of your company interview me. And if they like me, hire me. That worked out. I became the receptionist. And I was so bored. I could not handle it. So I started shadowing every single person in her company. Like, hey, give me work. And figuring out, you know, what am I interested in? And naturally found an avenue in account management, sales, and marketing. They had no marketing to support their sales initiatives. And I started doing minor stuff like email marketing, coming up with like sales blitz ideas. And then we had an event in House of Blues, ended up getting coached from House of Blues. House of Blues, similar story back in the day, like they weren't great at telling their story of why they were a good concert venue to book your special event in. It was special events I was working at the time, and developed some marketing initiatives that they not necessarily weren't doing at all, but weren't telling the best stories.
Uh-huh.
And then that got picked up to corporate, and I ended up getting brought to LA to do it nationally. So fast forward 4.5 years, I rebranded with the SVP of special events at the time, the entire portfolio of special events marketing. And from there, you know, really just decided like I want some more. And I felt like I kind of hit my ceiling at that position. And my friend, Lindsay Medina, she worked at DWP at the time, and she was looking for a marketing manager and brought me over here. So ultimately, it was just kind of a transgression of working really hard and just knowing the right people.
Right.
So I'm very fortunate. But what I tell my interns all the time is, hey, well, I didn't go to school. I worked really hard and I put myself out there and developed relationships with people to get where I am today. So just that's my best advice for people looking to get in this position. Huh. And something like I am is, you know, network and work really hard and work well.
And then find something you're passionate about too. I mean, if you're not passionate about it, it's not going to work because that's a lot of work.
Exactly. You have to have that passion evoked through everything you do.
All right. Well, I've been trying to figure out how to wrap my brain around this whole festival thing for the last few years. There's a few things that make my brain spin. One is trying to figure out how the planets spin and align. And the other is how the hell you guys pull off this Rockville thing. So, let's start with painting a picture of what it looks like at its peak, and then we're going to go to the end of last year's Rockville and the process to lead up to the May 9th through 12th this year. So on the highest, I assume Saturday is probably the biggest day.
We actually have last year or just in general, our festival this year, we're breaking records for Welcome to Rockville. This is going to be the biggest Welcome to Rockville our fan base has ever seen. Yeah. All 4 days are pretty even as far as attendance this year.
So how many people is that, do you think? I mean, basically, the Daytona Raceway becomes another city. It's like Rockville, Florida, right? There's that many people.
Yeah, last year we saw 170,000 over 4 days. I would imagine we're going to be closer to 180 this year or more. You know, we still have a month to go, just less than a month to go, and we're still on sale. So it's pacing to be the biggest Welcome to Rockville yet.
Wow.
And, you know, we always joke about our two festivals, Louder Than Life and Welcome to Rockville, being North America's largest rock festival. And they are battling against each other. Last year ended up with Rockville being the biggest, and we're still saying it's the biggest this year.
Yeah. Well, as I mentioned, there's like this event and those 4 days, the raceway has a bigger population than 95% of the cities in Colorado.
Yeah. We build cities within cities here.
Yeah, you really do. So So last year wraps up. You guys high five each other. It was a success. You know, 175,000 people through the doors. Wow, good job. Where do you begin then to start the next Rockville? So start preparing? So, like, what do you mean right away? Like the next day or what?
Before the festival even happened. So we're already looking at 2025 right now.
What?
Yep.
Wow, that is impressive.
On the talent side, in order to get the level of talent that we do, we have to start securing and locking those artists in a year in advance.
Okay.
We're constantly working on our next year programming. As soon as we announce a lineup, you can assume we're already looking at the next year. So we're already there doing that. We have our dates secured. And then really on the experience level, it's looking at what activations were hit this year. What activations could we bring to continue to enhance the experience on site that our fans know and have become to love.
And what are those called? Is that like activities? Is that what?
Yeah. So outside of just the musical talent, you know, everyone wants to see bands, but what about in between sets and walking in between stages? How can we ensure every touch point delivers an exceptional experience? So, you know, new to this year at Rockville, we're doing the Church of Rock, which is basically a dive bar that's going to have live karaoke. Where fans can come in and participate in karaoke in a air-conditioned setting in a big tent and get some drinks. And, you know, there might be some surprise and delight. Some other festivals we've had celebrities pop up and do guest bartending. So you never know what's going to happen at some of our events. And that's some things you can look forward to at our DVP events this year and beyond, is that we're continuing to invest into our consumers' experiences in between sets and really trying to get people to come, not just for the music, but really for what they can experience walking around over 4 days.
It's like the show within the show. And then you guys rate and review and decide which is going to come back, what stuff is successful and what's not, huh? That's cool.
Not necessarily rate and review, but, you know, the fans tell us too. We love to survey our fans after the festival, tell us what you love. We see, you know, on social engagement as well, of what they say, like, hey, I really loved when, you know, I was at this pop-up and Corey Taylor served me a drink. You know, that's happened before in Louisville at our Headbangers Hall, and we're hoping to make more fun pop-ups happen like that at other festivals this year. So no, who knows what you'll see Russell.
No one's gonna believe you. Hey, Corey Taylor, give me a beer. Nah, shut up. All right, so you guys are already planning right after, before the show ends, you're already booking talent, which is amazing. So right now there's some bands that know they're headlining next year's Rockville.
Sure.
Wow, that's so crazy to think. My God, I mean, I knew you had a plan far out, but I didn't think you were booking more than a year in advance. That's insane. Okay, so that's the first thing, securing the talent for the lineup. So obviously this year, you know, Slipknot's fixing to hit the cycle, so you knew they would be hot. Disturbed always pulls. Who doesn't love the Foo Fighters? Then you got the Retro Night with Crew and Judas Priest and Anthrax. And then you kind of trickle down after the main stages and get the smaller bands.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's really looking at, you know, who's one or two are routing across the board and how it can work within who's going out on the road. How can we secure them and work to fuel where they're routing through?
Mm-hmm.
But then looking at who's hot right now, who's up and coming, we have to continually fuel the cycle and talent of, hey guys, rock is not dead. Look at these up and coming artists. Here's who you should be checking out right now and making sure you're stopping and looking at their sets. We know you love these headliners and then these acts because they're your notorious acts, you know, that we know you want to see, but check out all these other bands as well. A lot of our fans are coming for the undercard as well.
Right. That's what we do here at Kilo. We play a lot of new bands because you got to grow these bands now, and they'll be monsters eventually. They'll be the next Metallica. Exactly. Someone.
Fueling the cycle.
So how many people are feeling that? What kind of a crew is out there assembling? Because this year it's over 100 bands. I mean, it just seems like it's just overwhelming.
We're a small but mighty team. We've got on our talent team right now a team of 3 to 4.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Across all of our festivals, not just Rockville.
So just like you, everyone just works really, really hard.
Yeah.
To get this thing off the ground, huh?
Yeah. So as a company, our team full time, we have about we're almost up to 70 full time staff members now. Between 60 and 70 full time. The rest are contractors. So when you're coming on site, we do a lot of contract work of from our food and beverage concessionaires and bartenders and people running those. To our security and logistics and production team. So we have, you know, our core full-time people that are really operationally planning year over year. Uh-huh. But then we have so many stars on our contracted team that come in and support us at all of our festivals.
Oh, I'm sure.
Especially Rockville.
Especially with this many plates spinning with the concerts that you guys perform. So like, all right, so give us an idea. Rockville, you got 70 employees for DWP, but then how many people are actually working the show? Security, beer people, stage hands. Do you have a number?
I don't have a set number, but thousands.
Thousands, like
thousands of employees.
Like less than 10?
Less than 10. I would say probably between 2 and 5.
Wow, that's just amazing. I mean, just security alone is thousands of people, right? Wow. Yeah, that's some of the stuff that is just so hard for me to wrap my brain around. It's like, woo, you have 5,000 employees or so. All right. So then in regards to the bands, well, you set the talent and everything. When the show happens over those 4 days, how do you deal with that many bands as far as like writer contracts and stuff? And then, you know, bands are obviously, some people are difficult. I don't know if you've ever noticed that, Holly, but some people in bands can be difficult. How does that work?
You know, I'm not on that team. So I just know that my contracting and talent teams are saints, and, you know, we have what we call the DWP way here. And for us, everyone's experience matters. It's not just our fans. It is how we're working with every talent. You know, you might say some artists are difficult. We don't look at it that way. How can we make sure that they have the best experience on site to fulfill their needs, to make them comfortable?
Right.
They're coming in, they're home with us for the day. Let's make them have the best experience, because that makes them want to come back year over year and put a hell of a good show on for our fans.
Yeah. It's like the whole happy wife, happy life kind of thing, huh?
Exactly.
Happy band, good show.
Exactly.
With planning this far ahead, have you ever lost bands? Like, we're not, I mean, in a year cycle, you got to have a band that breaks up a year later before the show. Does that ever happen?
You know, ultimately we have, it's a known fact that any festival, not just unique to DWP, but when we book a lineup, it is our full intent that lineup we put out when we drop it initially is the lineup that our fans see, but things happen. Yeah. So whether bands break up or someone breaks an arm or a leg or has a health issue, someone may die in their family or weather, you know, we've had people on their way to Rockville and day of show, their bus catches on fire. All kinds of things can happen. And maybe it's not on the way to Rockville, just any of our shows in general. And, you know, we try our best to replace bands if we can, based off of availability. Mm-hmm. But when you have 150 bands over one weekend, you know, the pool to get another person on short notice, especially let's say it's a month out, becomes harder and harder. So right. We just announced a couple on Rockville just last week that are unfortunately no longer able to join us. And it's just inevitable in this space for us.
Well, especially with the ginormous amount of bands that you work with over these multiple festivals, it's like, so like if you were booking a concert hall and you had two bands in once a month, you know, the chances of something being messed up is few and far between. But you have, like you said, 150 bands over 4 days. It's just the odds alone are kind of stacked against you for something to go wrong, right?
Not necessarily stacked against us, but, you know, it's life happens.
Yeah, right.
It's, you know, it's not, you know, we've seen like conspiracy theories from fans being like, you know, like, they just put this lineup out and they don't even actually have it contracted. They're just putting their names out. No, that's not the case. We contract and book every single band that is on the lineup that we announce, and life happens. People are human. Just as every day to day, you know, you might have to call in sick to work because of something. Bands are humans too. They might have to have something unique in whatever their setting is to where they can't perform. And it's our job to find the best replacement for them of what's available and what we can do. And that fans want to see, right? You know, we're not just going to replace. Like, who is going to be someone that's exciting.
Right. Fill that void.
Do you guys have like a weekend crisis team that's on call for that full 4 days or?
We sure do.
Yeah. I figured that much just because you don't know. But again, you have so many people, you got so many bands. There's just so many things that could go wrong. You got to be sharp. That's so amazing. Amazing. All right. Well, let's talk more numbers then. How many, I don't know if you can have previous numbers, beer, how much beer is sold? Like, do you have keg numbers or gallons or over a 40? I can only imagine it's,
you know,
1,000
kegs. I don't have exact numbers, but it's a lot. I mean, you know, if we have 170 plus thousand people over 4 days in our house, they're living with us on site for, you know, 12 plus hours a day. We've got to make sure that they're well hydrated and well fed.
Right. Yeah,
hydrated, whether it's liquor or water, we've got you covered.
That's great. Yeah. The last year's winter talked about how the food was just so great. He's like, it was awesome. Never having to eat anywhere else, just at the raceway there.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, on our mobile app, something new that maybe people don't notice this year that we didn't do last year is there's a food and fun section. And we've outlined all of the different food offerings that showcase if something's gluten-free or vegan or vegetarian offering. So you can see our 50-plus food vendors that we have alone around our footprint and be able to really say, you know, I want pokey today or I want whatever it is. I have a dietary restriction, I'm vegan, and what do you have for me? Check out our mobile app. We've got you covered in there so you can see what meets your dietary restriction.
You guys basically turned this thing into an amusement park now, huh? It's almost like Disneyland with rock music instead of roller coasters.
That's the idea, yeah.
Huh, so cool. All right, so we figure out when you guys start, how you get the bands together. When do you guys actually take over the Daytona Speedway then to start setting this thing up?
Yeah, we start building our city within a city, as we like to call it, about 2 weeks before the festival.
So only 2 weeks before, really?
Yep, so about the end of this month, we'll start loading in, and it takes about a week after the festival to come on down.
Really? So this whole thing constructed, dismantled in a matter of 3 weeks?
Give or take, yeah.
That is amazing. Now, has it always been that efficient? Like the first year, was it that efficient?
Yeah.
Wow. See, I was thinking you guys get this probably, I figured you're fixing to take over in the next couple of days, a month out.
No, you have to be efficient. You know, it's, The Speedway has other events going on. So unfortunately, it's not something that we just have the luxury of, you know, coming in a month, 2 months early.
Yeah.
But we've built our efficiencies. We have, like I said, thousands of staff members to come in, and between our site operations team, our production team, logistics teams, everyone's coming in and works really hard to set up this incredible experience for everyone.
Yeah, right. I should have Googled. My mistake. Is there footage out there of like a time lapse of you guys constructing everything?
You know, we haven't done that. It's not the worst idea ever. It'd be actually pretty cool to see it.
Yeah, I'd love to see that just go up and go back down again. That would just be so cool. Like I said, I'm really fascinated how you pull this off. I've been, like I said, just floored by what you guys do over all these years. And this year I finally was like, I got to talk to someone. I got to figure out how this whole thing works. All right. So, you get the 2 weeks before. What about now? Stage wraps up midnight or so. What is what happens from midnight until like 10 o'clock the next morning when you guys open the gates and start over? What's going on behind the scenes there?
Resetting the scene just for the next day of amazing experiences. Again, I know I keep honing in on that, but you know, we don't want a trashy site. Our Clean Vibes crew, we have a group of volunteers, which, if people want to volunteer for that, they can. There's a small deposit, but basically you get into the show for free. You pay a small deposit so you actually show up and work. But once you're done with your shift, you get to enjoy the show.
Cool.
So that crew at Clean Vibes is coming in and re-beautifying the site, making sure that all the trash is picked up. We're resetting the stages for the next day. It's really getting ready for another awesome show day.
That's awesome. There's people who are working for music, basically. We'll work for music.
Exactly. We have a get involved section of our website. So if anyone's ever interested in volunteer opportunities, head to the get involved section of our website.
That's awesome. I'll put a link on the podcast description too, so people can just click and go. That's smart too. Is that? I mean, yeah. There's all these little things that you figured out how to make it work, huh?
Yeah, you know what? It takes a village.
It does. I like that. I like you, Holly. Man, I'm trying to think what else I want to ask you. I know we're going to hang up. I'm going to have like 10 more questions. So we got the lead up. I want to know how you build it. What is the biggest problem or the most troublesome thing for you when it comes
for
to
me,
these
within
big,
my,
yeah,
you know, one, we talked about band cancellations. It's never easy. Fans are upset and we don't like seeing our fans upset.
Mm-hmm.
I think on site, going to call it the elephant in the room, we've had weather at this festival.
Uh-huh.
That is probably for me, one of the most challenging, not just, logistically working. I help push out communications to our fans of if it's a mobile app, I'm the one putting up communications and mobile apps, letting people know the updates on weather, if they're having to evacuate or when they can come back in. I've done our social medias in the past, specifically around weather. So sometimes that has been a really challenging task is more just, we don't love to have to evacuate. We do it for everyone's safety. And I think one of the most challenging things is one, not taking it personally when fans are upset. You know, they're there to have a good time and they might not understand what we know from our expertise of why we would evacuate. So, you know, if there's lightning within a certain radius of our festival site, it is for the safety and we have to let people go. With this festival specifically, fortunately, it's driving that education of we have grandstands. You don't actually have to leave the venue. You could go and seek shelter underneath the grandstands and whatever. But I think that's one of the most challenging things specifically at this site is if there is weather, making sure that we're taking care of everyone in our house safely and then
right.
Making sure that everyone's happy, you know?
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize the severeness.
Yeah, you'll be like, it looks, because, you know, sometimes too, it could look like there's not a cloud in the sky, but within our radius that you might not see from the speedway, there could be lightning a little, you know, within our radius. So you might not be able to see it, but we work with the National Weather Service. We've got radars up. So it's in the interest of everyone's safety. So I think that's ultimately what it is. But you know what? Last year we had a great weekend. This year I'm willing into existence. We're going to have another great weekend with no weather. But yeah, that's one of the challenges.
Right. Yeah, that's another thing I didn't even think about. It's like, yeah, you guys are basically at nature's whim. I mean, this is Colorado, so we're used to stuff not happening for various weather reasons, but something like that, you don't think. What is the weather like in Florida? I always thought it was really nice, no?
No, it's actually usually really nice, but you know, it's Florida in the summertime. Sometimes there's summer thunderstorms.
Huh. That's funny. Yeah, here in Colorado, people not have problems. Oh, I understand. We don't want to die. No one wants to die at the rock and roll show. Huh.
No.
Well, that is so cool. I wish you guys the best of luck with Rockville this year. And I can't wait to hear you who's the lineup next year. And then we'll get to Aftershock at Sacramento later in the year as well. Keep on keeping on, Holly.
Keep on keeping on. Back to you.
And best of luck. Good luck in the next, like, you got some long days ahead of you, yeah?
Sure do. You know, we're as DWP not done announcing festivals. We've still got our Born and Raised lineup to announce. So we're still working towards that in the next couple weeks. And then we'll go right from that into Rockville and Sonic.
That's crazy. Yeah, so what's the count now? What's the Danny Wimmer Presents festival count now? How many different shows?
Nine festivals.
What? Nine? Wait, run them down for me then. Because, all right. Ohio.
Yeah, I'll go in chronological order of happening. So okay. Welcome to Rockville in Florida.
Okay.
Sonic Temple in Columbus, Ohio.
Yep.
Incarceration at the Ohio State Reformatory in Mansfield. Then we have now Rocklahoma kicking our fall season off on Labor Day weekend. We just announced our acquisition of that festival.
I saw that lineup. It was a great lineup.
Yeah. So Rocklahoma and then Born and Raised, which is also in Pryor, Oklahoma. That lineup's dropping really soon. Then we have Bourbon and Beyond, Louder Than Life in Louisville, and then going into Aftershock in Sacramento, and our last one of the season is Golden Sky.
Wow. That's just amazing. So you continue to add one every year pretty much, huh?
Yeah.
Just because you just hate having a social life? Is that why you just keep on doing it?
You know what? This is my social life. There's nothing I love more than the people I work with. But when I set foot on site too, it's like a festival family. There's people you haven't seen since the year before. hugging a lot of your friends that you haven't seen in forever. It's, you know, it's your festival family. And I think a lot of our fans feel the same way when they set foot on site.
I bet. And then, and lastly, Holly, how does it feel? Like last year, perfect weather, everything went off without a hitch. How good does that feel when you guys knock it out of the park like that?
Amazing.
Just high fives and hugs all around?
That, but also just seeing our fans have so much fun.
That's great.
No, I
think
bet.
That fuels, like, I think that fuels almost everyone at our company, is seeing the amount of people we bring in the house and how excited everyone is to get there. And, you know, seeing that sense of community fuels all of us.
Yeah, making 175,000 people happy. Very difficult in this time and era. But you're doing it, Holly. Well, cool. Well, best of Danny and the gang. And thanks for partnering up with us. We appreciate everything you do.
Thank you so much.
All right, Holly. Thanks for the time.
Of course. Bye.
Bye.